Blog Talk Radio.
Take this pledge with me. Say with me, please. I. Say your name. Pledge. That from this day forward, I will strive to love my brother as I love myself. I, say your name, from this day forward, will strive to improve myself. Spiritually, morally, mentally, socially, politically, and economically, for the benefit of myself, my family, and my people. I, say your name, pledge that I will strive to build business.
Build houses.
Assalamu alaikum. You are out on the front line with the fruit of Islam. I am your host, Jihad Muhammad, coming to you live from Atlanta, Georgia. Tonight, the captain speaks at the Farrakhan Speaks Roundtable Talks with Captain Emeritus Dennis Muhammad. Captain Emeritus Curtis F. Muhammad is here tonight. And from Detroit, Michigan, number one, Captain Emeritus Majid Muhammad is here. They are here to discuss the topic, why we must first be brothers. And also, they will discuss the time and what must be done by the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. Also, boots on the ground. We will show where Muhammad's got the devil on the run this week with the final call news with the soldiers of peace, the fruit of Islam. So sit back. Farrakhan's captains are in the building. Buckle up. Let's ride. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, I bear witness that there is no God but Allah, and I bear witness that Muhammad is his messenger. Tonight, we have three of some of the top commanders of the fruit of Islam. Each one of these men have trained thousands of soldiers who have come through the doors of the Nation of Islam. Each one of these men have commanded soldiers to push more than 30-plus final call sales a week. In 1994, August, the final call newspaper had broken the record of 500,000 sales a week, and it remained that way straight through the million-man march the next year. The captains were responsible for the security and the organizing of the near 2 million men at the Million Man March. They are called the captains of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, and I have not done it a service of their credit to what they have done for their nation thus far. Please welcome to the Farrakhan Speaks Roundtable Talks, Captain Emeritus Dennis Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum, sir.
Wa alaikum salam, sir.
How are you tonight, Cap?
Brother, I'm doing fine. I thank Almighty God Allah for allowing me to have another chance that I may be able to correct yesterday's mistakes.
All praise is due to Allah. Also, at the Farrakhan Speaks Roundtable Talks, please welcome to the mic our brother, Captain Emeritus Curtis F. Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum, sir.
Wa alaikum salam, dear brother. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing fine, Cap. How are you tonight?
I'm wonderful. Allahu Akbar, dear brother. I thank Allah for life and to allow me to be able to come from deathbed on my way back to life to be able to be a great helper to the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan in this wonderful, beautiful nation of Islam we have.
All praise is due to Allah, and thanks for coming out tonight, sir. Also at the roundtable tonight is our brother from Detroit, Captain Emeritus Majid Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum, sir.
Wa alaikum salam to you, brother Jihad.
How you doing tonight, sir?
I'm doing just fantastic. I thank Almighty God Allah for coming into person of Master Farah Muhammad. And one day after the birth anniversary of his Messiah, the Exalted Christ, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and their great servant, the Honorable Louis Farrakhan, I'm just happy to be a helper in the Nation of Islam, trying to make my word my bond.
All praise is due to Allah. Let me go ahead and get started then tonight, brothers. We have a lot of soldiers from around the country that are on the line tonight, a lot of young soldiers that are on the line tonight. And I thought that they needed to hear exactly just how you three men were or pushers for the program of Muhammad. Let me start with Brother Captain Dennis. Sir, how was it possible that you were able to push and organize that many amount of men to go ahead and push 30,000 final calls in a week's time? I mean, was there a system that you used? To what credit do you owe that?
Well, brother, to be very honest with you, that was nothing, because, you know, we were always put in front of us the record of the final call, or the Muhammad speaks prior to the final call, that had been known of what New York had been historically known for. And so 100,000 a week was the numbers of under the former our beloved, esteemed, emeritus captain who has passed, Yusuf Shaw.
Did we lose him, Brother Rafi?
He's still on the board, beloved, but I lost him. I don't hear any audio on Brother.
Okay. All right. We're going to have to let him call back in. Okay. Brother Captain Curtis, sir, same question applies, sir. You was down here in Atlanta, brother, and I know for a fact you was pushing 35,000 of those final calls at one time. What was the drive? What was the motivating force that got you to pull that plow and push the men to be able to push that many final calls in the community, sir?
Well, first, I'd like to say, in the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, giving all praise to him and for him coming to us in the person of the great Mahdi, Master Farah Muhammad, and blessing us with the Messiah, the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and this time the Honorable Louis Farrakhan. I say the same thing that Brother Captain Dennis is saying. You know, we walked with Minister Farrakhan, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. We were with him. I was with him practically 10 years, almost everywhere he went, almost every week I was with him somewhere. Especially prior to the Million Man March, we traveled this country, crisscrossed it, and the spirit that he put in us personally as his personal captains, at that time we was known as the F King. Brother Sharif was F1, Brother Mustafa was F2, Brother Captain Abdul Akil was F3, Brother Captain Dennis was 4. I was 5, Brother Captain Khalil out in Houston was 6, and Brother Hugh out of California was number 7. And quite naturally, number 1 has been what it was. We got this brother on the phone who was one of the longest running captains in this phase, Brother Captain Majid. And we, as Brother Wale said, you know, I never broke the record for what Minister Abdul Rahman and Captain Samuel did in Atlanta. I was trying to get there, and I think their record was like 45,000. We topped out at 38,000. But it was the spirit that was induced into us from the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan when we was with him. And that was so powerful, because if you was with him every day the way we getting him now, every week, for that 1 hour, just imagine being with him on the road for a couple of days, and he putting this wisdom and this blessing in you, and we wasn't selfish with it. You would come back in front of the minister. The Honorable Louis Farrakhan said this. The Honorable Louis Farrakhan said this. So really, it was the minister, it was the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan that we was putting in these men that made them just love him even more, to where they went overbound. And I got to say this. you know, what's helped me is that I was a free man. I didn't have no job. My job was to push the Nation of Islam, to recruit the dead, to turn them over to the Lamb of God, and to move the number one ministry, which is the final call. And so that was the spirit that we had. And we would do hookup with captains, and we would do righteous competition with one another. And it was nothing easy, but it was beautiful. And the beauty of it was to accomplish it and get it done and to see the men turn out. I mean, it was a kind of spirit taking place at that time that which created a spirit for the Million Man March. I mean, when you saw all those men show up on that mall, you know, they didn't just show up. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan worked this country. He worked this country. And by us walking with him, we had to also work in the area that we was in. So that had a lot to do with the final call was the spirit and the love that we shared with the brothers.
Yes, sir. Brother Captain Majid, what say you, sir?
One of the major things, my expression would be a little different, but I definitely agree with my brothers and comrades there as fellow captains. And it was definitely all about the spirit. Detroit was not where we had wanted it to be in the, I would say, early mid-80s. And I had a burning desire for our city to really get up and rise and be where I know the minister wanted it to be, because he would say to me on occasion, he'd say, "Brother, we don't have a problem with Detroit being number one with Chicago being number two, as long as Detroit is number one."
Mm-hmm.
So we were blessed to have a young, charismatic, dedicated, loving son of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad through Brother Rasul.
Yes, sir.
And our two spirits connected. And we said something that I don't know if you've heard this said before, but we wanted to try a different strategy in building the spirit of the FOI. So we said we wanted to build an FOI based on love.
Come on.
And we went to work with that idea in mind. And Allah blessed us out of our love for the Honorable Louis Farrakhan to recruit a significant number of young soldiers who wanted to be rappers and had a tremendous amount of energy. And we were blessed to form a good relationship with this energetic group of young brothers, to the point that that energy for rap and that energy for the music and all was transferred to the final call. And even the student minister, Rasul, and even myself, we formed squads. He had a squad. I had a squad. And we had a routine that we worked on, you know, every single day. And inclusive with that, you know, the MGT wind up getting fired up.
Mm-hmm.
So the student sister captain over the MGT, she had the sisters fired up. The FY captain had a squad. The minister had a squad. Of course, all the lieutenants had a squad. And it was just our love for the Honorable Louis Farrakhan and the desire to see a smile on his face, looking at the tremendous load that he had on his shoulders. And so that spirit just ignited. And through spirit, we were blessed to reach great numbers and make a great significant success with that Final Call newspaper. So it's definitely the spirit, because the spirit is just the engine that drives us to be able to be successful in anything that we're trying to accomplish.
Yes, sir. Is Brother Dennis back on the line?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Oh, I'm sorry, Cap. You got dropped off. I knew you wasn't finished with your statement. Would you like to go ahead and complete it, sir?
Well, you know, I mean, they almost said what I was going to say. And matter of fact, I'm glad I didn't say it, because they added so much more to what I wanted to say, but I totally agree. You know, each one of my fellow comrades hit on the point, the spirit. I like what Brother Captain Majid said, because I could not have done the wonderful work in New York that Allah blessed me to do if I didn't have a young fireball minister. Minister Conrad was a truly a up-and-coming, some would even call him heir apparent, brother. The minister loved him. He had a wonderful, infectious spirit. And everybody knows that, you know, if you're going to run a house, it takes two to do it. We had a great labor team. And even though I say what my brother said, we had something that was a little different. And that was we had a personal relationship with the Honorable Minister Farrakhan. And those of us who were privileged to be personal security for him and his East Coast and regional captains and captains, you know, we really had a step ahead of the average captain because we was around the Honorable Minister Farrakhan, and we watched that man move mountains. And out of seeing the Honorable Minister Farrakhan move mountains, he removed from our thinking the word impossible. So we came back to our cities with not, we can't. That was not in our vocabulary. If the leader did this, we did it. And if that man said we can do it, if the minister said that flea can pull that bus, you better bet your skippy we hooking that flea to that bus. That was our spirit, and we brought it. And, of course, being over New York, I could never be remiss that I was over the city of the leader. So, brother, former Supreme Captain Sharif will always tell us what New York did. We will always hear what the minister brought to Honorable Elijah Muhammad and number two poor. That was always Minister Conrad's task. We could never satisfy the numbers, but we darn sure gave it a good run for its money. And so with that kind of spirit, and of course, man, the beautiful spirit of Brother Akil, Brother Khalil, Brother Curtis, Brother Captain Majid, Brother Minister Hugh, the beautiful spirit of the team, Brother Mustafa, you know, Brother Sharif. I mean, our spirits was, we was in great competition, but you know what? There was something that was beyond competition. We truly, truly, truly loved each other. And we didn't love each other because we was captains. We loved each other because each one of those men that I named, I knew they loved my leader. I knew they would give their life for my leader. And I personally watched each and every one of them sacrifice their life, sacrifice their families to give that man, the Honorable Minister Farrakhan, the most comfortable life that we can give our great leader. So that was the beauty, the brotherhood, man. And we chagged one another, but we was first brothers.
And that brings me to the next point. In 1982, I don't know what everybody was doing in 82, but I remember it was the year 1982 where the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan took the titles away and came out with a memorandum stating that we must first be brothers. I want to ask Captain Dennis, and then we can go around the table with this, because I know you were there, Cap. What was the purpose for that statement of we must first be brothers? Why did we need that at that particular time, and the purpose for taking away the titles at that time?
Well, brother, to be very honest with you, I remember that Savior's Day, 1982, Savior's Day. Man, it was a Savior's Day, brother, that we'll never forget. 81 and 82, it was, you know, we was very much feeling ourselves. I remember Theron, who was the former Supreme Captain, when he would walk, he would damn near have 100 men flanking him. When we were sitting there one time watching the drill competition with Brother Malik doing L.A. doing that thing, the minister observed that tape. And he said this to me, and I think Brother Theron was there. He said, man, I looked, he said this specifically. He said, brother, Brother Dennis, I looked at the back of your head, and I said, these men is too fucked up with pride, and this pride is killing them, meaning that we have got crazy with these idols. And I think it was then that the minister said, you know, these titles was killing us. And he wanted to know that if he took these titles from us, that we must go back to the principles of being a brother. And I remember we took the titles, and that was his reason. His reason was we had got crazy with the titles. We were too fucked up with pride. And the minister wanted to keep us and our foot on the ground, and he took the titles. And, of course, he took us back to brothers instead of us, man, the supreme captain, sister, supreme captain, brother. We was brothers. And I thank Allah that the Honorable Minister Farrakhan did that, because it took us from being crazy and seeing ourselves as what we really was not qualified to be. And so that was the first time, man, that I was a part of that era. And the sad thing about that was that the minister and everybody, when he asked us personally, he asked the top labors, national labors at that time, would we give up the titles? And, of course, anything the minister asked us, we was quick to give up the titles. You know, just like he asked us once upon a time, would we give back those names that we had took under the imam and go back to the name of Mr. Muhammad had given us the exit? Would we do that? And, of course, when he asked us to do that, we did. We went back. You know, we had these long names, but that was the first time I remembered it, brother.
Yes, sir. Brother Curtis, sir, let me ask you a question, sir. The importance, what do you see as the significance of first being brothers, building the military, being a man that had been over thousands of men in the southern region, mid-Atlantic region? What is the importance, what is the value of that being the first lesson?
You know, I want to first go on what my comrades have said, Brother Majid and Brother Dennis. What I did say at first was it was that teamwork, because I had, we had a beautiful brother, young minister. I mean, we know him as the brother to get that finance for the Honorable Louis Farrakhan, Brother Student Minister Jamil. And he was a great instrument in helping the recruiting factor in Atlanta and that southern region, because it is no question he demonstrated the love for the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. And that team of us, it gave me the fluid that I needed to get the brothers. The brothers wouldn't move it. He put that spirit in them coming directly from the Honorable Louis Farrakhan. But I want to just say that, you know, that the whole thing is, once again, is, it's a teamwork, as Brother Dennis and Brother Majid were saying, is that, and when you fall in love with Allah, his messenger, and understand that Allah came to us in the person of the great Mahdi, Master Devil Farad Muhammad, and gave us a messenger, the most honorable Elijah Muhammad, the one whom we know today as exalted Christ, and gave us their servant, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. When you look at that and you put your love for them, you when you look at it and you dedicate your mind and yourself to that point, then everything that comes, that actually comes through you, you got to understand that you're just a vessel. And that Allah is using you to do whatever needs to get done at that particular time. And the key was, as Brother Dennis has said, is that we had to vibe with one another. And, you know, and that piece, you know, we used to always say men sharpen men, you know, like steel sharpen steel. And what would happen is that we all, I knew I did, I would watch my brothers and see how they moved and, you know, then try to take it like I had it all myself. I was like, okay, I'm going to get this from Brother Dennis. You know, he was in New York. You know, I'm just giving some stuff up, man, that helped us so much. You know, when we got together, you know, we had a lot of style with us, and we dressed a certain kind of way. We all had a temperament, but now it was things coming from certain areas. Now, when you saw us with the hats, You knew that was out of New York. Brother Dennis would always get the hats when you saw us with them hats on. It was some Brother Dennis boy. We all were like, okay, this is what it was. The shoes and the suits was coming out of Atlanta and Detroit. You know, and so we was like a family regardless of where we was at, and we communicated. And, you know, I could just go on and on and on, man. I just, as reflecting, I see that that era have to come back into fruition right now, which is love. We must begin to love our teacher. And when we love him, then the brotherhood will automatically come together, because that love is going to draw us together into our unity to do what we need to do to go after death.
Okay. Now, Captain Majid, let me ask the question this way. It's dealing with the same thing, but it's also dealing with duty and responsibility. In Newark, Mas 25, Brother Kadir was the minister in Newark before I left to come to Atlanta. In 94. But before I left, Newark was pound for pound the number one mosque in the nation. And one of the things that I remember, the reason why it was successful like that under Captain Majid, who's over the East Coast now, is that the doors never closed. There was always somebody in the mosque. 24/7, the door stayed open. Activity was going on all the time because Brother Kadir was a driver. See, and the doors always stayed open. There was no such thing as you can go to the mosque and nobody would be in there. And so I want to ask you a question here, sir. What advice can you offer the young soldiers on keeping your duty and making your word bond?
You know, that's a powerful question, and I have to kind of borrow from the experience of yesterday, meaning prior to 75. We didn't have cell phones. We didn't have the internet. We didn't have iPads, smartphones. You know, we didn't have any of those things, pagers, during that time. And the most wonderful thing for you is that when you're in need, that you always got a brother that will be coming to your aid. And this is the kind of spirit that existed with my comrades, Brother Dennis and Brother Chris. We was always there and still are for each other to this very moment.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I was in a fight once. I had two processing brothers with me, and Allah found picked a fight with us, and just to get through it quick, one of the brothers ran, and it only left myself and another processing brother there to defend ourselves. We, without doubt, were victorious. Allah definitely gave us the victory. Though it was something that we didn't want to do, we didn't have a choice at that time. But keeping your word bond is extremely important, because it's truly the life of the brotherhood. And that's the reason why we wanted to establish our brotherhood based on love. Because if you saw a brother in need, you saw a brother injured, you saw a brother hurt or whatever, you know, you knew that you had to come to the aid of that brother. And so keeping your word bond is truly the glue. It's truly the cement that bonds a brotherhood together. And when each man is keeping his word, that will allow you to do phenomenal things as far as the work is concerned. And the opposite effect can take place, too, when a man does not. The Honorable Louis Farrakhan kept his word. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad kept his word. Master Farad kept his word. So the reward for us is in doing the same. It's tremendously important. And so in doing that, you know, it's, you can do anything that you want to do. You can accomplish whatever you want. And so back in the day, as I was saying, you know, we didn't have the phones and all that type of thing. And when you got a call,
when it was an important call, you knew you had to show up. It was no ifs, ands, and buts about it. And so when the brotherhood would rally to your cause, that made you more dedicated, that made you more in love with the FOI, and it enabled us to do and continue to enable us to do phenomenal things. So the importance of keeping your word is just like life and death.
Praise be to Allah. Brother Captain Dennis, what say you, sir? What advice could you offer the soldiers today on duty, on keeping your duty and making your word bond?
Well, you know, one of the things that the Honorable Minister Farrakhan has stood for in our presence for over 50-something years now, he has proven to be a principled man. He has proven not to be a liar. Me and my fellow comrades have watched the minister with our own eyes make his word bond. Everything that man said he was going to do, we watched him do it.
Yes, sir.
We watched the minister look at an empty parking lot and say, right there, dear brothers, I'm going to build one of the finest restaurants in Chicago. And it was nothing there. Mm-hmm. And we watched him do it. We watched him look at the building that we now call the National Center Mosque Mariam when it was not in our hands. And he said, I'm going to get that back. And we got it back. We watched him as we walked through it, and there was nothing in there, and he showed what he wanted there and what he wanted there, and it wasn't there. And then it happened, and he made his word bond. We watched him do it. We watched him talk about that he was going to get the finest trucks that this devil can make, the Peterbilt, and have our papers up and down the highway and the finest of trucks. And we watched his word become bond. He said, I would take 1 million men to Washington, D.C., and we watched his word become bond. We watched everything that man said. And how could we say we with him? And we are liars. And we are deceivers. And we don't make our word bond. We have no problem deceiving and lying and cheating one another in that man's holy, good, and righteous name. What have we become? That man is our living example. And if Brother Dennis is anybody that you would speak kindly about, I couldn't be none of that if it was not for the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. I cannot even be worthy to tie up his shoelace. None of us is worthy to even tie up his shoelace.
Yes, sir.
But yet, he treats us all the same. Yet, he showed love to us. Regardless if we don't show love to one another, he has always shown us love. And we can't do that to one another. Then if we can't be brothers, then get the hell out the ranks.
Yes, sir.
If we can't be true to this, then why play with it? Because this is what we need right now in this hour. We need true brotherhood. We don't need no faking, because when Allah is about ready to bring on this country and when he's about ready to bring on our ass, we're going to need to know who's truly a brother, because Allah is going to make manifest who's truly not your brother. And as the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, and my brothers will remember these words, they know that the messenger used to say this, everybody to say assalamu alaikum. Is what, Brother Majid? What, Brother Captain Curtis? It's not your brother. So anybody that say assalamu alaikum don't mean that's your brother. You know, the enemy can say assalamu alaikum now. Brotherhood is not about what you say. Brotherhood is not what you profess. Brotherhood is an action. No one calls Brother Majid Brother Majid if he was not a brother. If he was not a brother, they'd call him Majid. Yeah, that nigga Majid. Nobody would call Brother Curtis if he was not a brother. Yeah, that nigga Curtis.
Brother, nobody would call Brother Dennis if I was a nigga. Yeah, that nigga Dennis. The very greatest title, the greatest title that each and every one of us can hold is that word brother. See, because you got to earn that one. You can fake being a captain. You can fake being a lieutenant. But you damn sure can't fake being a brother.
Yes, sir. Brother Captain Curtis, sir, the same question applies, but I want to add a little more to it. It is said that 74% of our homes are headed by a single mother with no man in the home. We're talking about duty and responsibility and keeping our word bond. It seems that a lot of our soldiers are not getting married today. A lot of black men are not marrying today. There's a big gap between the black man and the black woman and the family. What say you, sir, to keeping your duty and responsibility and making your word bond?
Wow. You know, brother, I got to hold my compulsion, my composure, because Brother Dennis have always been, we call a flamethrower, you know, in spirit for the men. You know, when we got a lot of men, the brothers, whatever, on Savior's Day, we would always bring Brother Dennis up front because he's been blessed to actually just speak words to just move your soul. I mean, I was sitting there thinking, like, man, this man make me go ahead and put my white shirt and bow tie on. I'm ready to go to the corner. You know?
Yes, sir.
I just want to thank Brother Dennis for that spirit that Allah has blessed him.
Yes, sir.
But, you know, brother, what we did is, Brother Captain Majid has said, Captain Dennis is saying, and you know as well as being in Atlanta and spending some time with me as a former regional captain.
Yes, sir.
You know, that brotherhood, what Brother Dennis was talking about. See, you can't. Some things you just can't fake. And even though we might have had 300-500 men in our ranks, we tried to get personal with each one of them brothers. What like we just had a few brothers. You know, it's something to walk in a mosque with 300 men and you knew all their names. Because, like Brother Dennis has said, I'm saying this to say that Dr. Mr. Louis Farco would walk in, it'd be thousands of us, and he wouldn't know the names. Whoa. So it was something that we patterned ourselves behind. And, you know, as Brother Majid said, being in the nation prior to 1975, you know, you weren't going to be walking around talking about you 25, 30, 45 years old, and you ain't got no wife and you ain't nothing, man. Whoa, wait a minute. Ain't no priest in here. And there ain't no monks in here. Now, who you fooling? And, okay, well, we're going to check your pulse to make sure you're not a homosexual. Okay, well, something going on with you. So my point that I'm trying to make is that when men begin to dedicate themselves to something greater than themselves, as I feel like myself and my comrades that's on the line, you know, we dedicated ourselves to this teaching. And when you dedicate yourself to this teaching, it makes you a maintainer and a provider, first of all, for your family, you know, and then, you know, you have to become, when you're the captain of the mosque, you got to be the maintainer and the provider. You got to make sure that the lights and everything runs smooth in that building, and you have to examine your soldiers. And when you got a soldier say he's been around 20 years and ain't got no wife and he's single, you know something going on with this man. You know, are you celibate? What's happening here? So all you got to do is like Brother Dennis, you can't fake being a brother. So we knew our men. We knew what was going on. So and if a brother was married, we tried to make sure that he maintained and was the head of his household. That, you know, he got the job done even though we was out in the field soldiering. You know, so today, the women are suffering, you know, and it's just sad, though, when I hear the stats like in Atlanta. You know, the homosexuality on both sides have become, Atlanta have become the capital of that. Well, that's a black city. What's happening here? You mean to tell me that homosexuality came from Caucasian people and actually flipped the script to where now we got men that don't want no woman anymore, they want a man because they've given up or they don't see any future or anything of stature in front of them? You know, when we got the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is standing up every day saw the struggle for the human race and for us to become men and head our houses. And now he's telling us that, you know, in the day that if you didn't have land, you couldn't be considered a man. So, you know, land is that what we was taught, you know, real estate is you and I. We the real real estate. We the earth, we the dirt, we the stone. We come from the earth. So if you ain't got no family, then you have what kind of man you are? You standing here by yourself? The Creator didn't create us to be by ourselves. You know, this is that story, you know, where they say Adam was standing there by himself and all the animals had a mate, and he's standing there looking at the power that he had. His ego was in the way, and God had to go back and give him the best part of himself, which was a woman. So when you hear a man talking about, well, I'm walking around and he's single, something's wrong. You know, and then if you had a marriage and didn't go right, well, try it again. You know, you just can't stop. So that problem is existing today is because a lot of the men are locked up. A lot of our brothers don't have no way of making ends meet, so they begin to break the law and they go to jail. And now the other part of them is turning homosexual. So here we are at war. So what happened during the time of war? And I'll leave that right there.
Yes, sir. All praise is due to Allah. Thank you, Cap. Brother Captain Majid, sir, there are brothers on the line tonight that may be listening that would like to join the Fruit of Islam. They may have vices. They like to get high, chase women or chase men or whatever the case may be. He wants to join the Nation of Islam, but these vices he feels is something that's an impediment that's stopping him from joining. What can you tell the soldier out in the street in the community today that has this type of desire?
We were given a lesson prior to becoming registered FOI. And in that lesson, it said that the original man is the maker, he's the owner, he's the cream of the planet Earth, and the God of the universe. Once we acquire the knowledge of ourselves, then in addition to that, we have to change and put ourselves in the environment that will help facilitate us becoming that which we desire to be. No cigarette, no reefer, no sex, no nothing weighs in any shape, form, or fashion into the God that exists inside of ourselves. If we truly want to be great, then we have to come to a point of resolution, and we have to desire something so much that we're willing to go through the fire of sacrifice and go through the fire of cravings. We have to go through the fire of being without in order to accomplish that thing that we want. We are God. That's not a slogan. That is the real deal. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Okay, I didn't know.
Yes, sir.
So you got to be willing to go through something to get something. And for me, I got to speak, give my own testimony. Nothing to me meant more than being a follower of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and going through the fire of sacrifice and becoming that which he told me I was, that I was a God. I said, well, I want to be that. Because up until that point, I ain't been nothing. I've been the scum of the earth. But I wanted to be a God. So my advice is, ain't nothing too hard for us to do. If we can put the sun, moon, and the star out there, and we can build pyramids, and we can chart our travels by a star in the sky, we can get rid of a cigarette. We can get rid of a little dope. In us is the ability to do and become anything that we want to be. I was blessed to be a good FOI. I was blessed to have a wonderful wife, not had, have. And I've been with her for 43 years, 5 magnificent children. We have our own business that is doing well. All of this is as a result of this teaching. So you can accomplish, he said, you can accomplish whatever you will. We are a God, but we got to put ourselves in the right environment, again, that will facilitate us to be acquire the greatness that we desire.
Okay. Well, let me go ahead here. We got a few more minutes in this first hour. I want to ask. I'm going to take this around the table. There's a question that's been brought to us on what can we do now about the final call news. What can we do to redevelop love? How do we do it? How do we do it? How can we help our minister with love and the final call news? Brother Captain Dennis, let me start with you, sir. What say you?
Well, you know, we have to be able to clearly understand the purpose of the final call newspaper. You know, I've learned as I've got older in my age that, you know, we cannot just go after anything we are trying to accomplish without a plan and a strategy. I don't know no military commander ever led any troops into any battlefield without a plan and a strategy.
Yes,
we're going to be successful with the final call newspaper. We must have a round table with all of the generals or the former generals that had done something to further the final call newspaper, whether it's past or present. It would be crazy to dismiss Brother Captain Curtis's experience, to dismiss Brother Captain Majid's experience, to dismiss Akil's experience, to dismiss Brother Khalil's experience. These men, they did it. You would think if we got a problem and America's smart enough to bring her former generals to the table to discuss war strategies and tactics. Well, some cases you can't use old methodology. You know, I remember General Patton, when he first came into the military, he was part of the Third Army, which was a cavalry, where the cavalry was horses. But then General Patton moved from horses to tanks. Well, you can't charge your enemy with horses. So we may have to change the methodology by which we're going to be successful in achieving the objective, and that is to get the message of the most honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan in the hearts and the minds of the people. Well, not only have we always been taught that the number one program of the Nation of Islam has been its greatest economic strength. We need to understand that. It has been one of the greatest economic tools that have allowed the Honorable Minister Farrakhan to do this work. At the same time, we must be honest. When we went up in numbers in New York, it's because there was an incentive attached to the increase of the final call newspaper. Now, my brothers on this line, they may not want to talk about that. But when we was told as a regional captain that we would get a nickel off of every paper, I went from 10,000 to 25,000 almost overnight. So when you tell the men, I'm just keeping the 100 with you. That was an incentive. Please, we drove those soldiers, and the men was given some money on the final call. They had an incentive, and when we went out there with that understanding that this paper put food on your table, this paper put shoes on your feet, this paper put gas in your car, this paper would even get you a car, man, listen, and we showed the brothers that it was real. Man, we couldn't keep enough papers. The only problem we had, and my brothers on the line would tell you, is that we was not communicating with the editor, because sometimes the editor would put something on the front page that was not conducive to selling. You don't go out there in a community, and I ordered 25,000 final call newspaper, and the issue was called "We Must Fight Obesity." Now you want to test the men's ability to sell? Try to sell that paper. "We must fight obesity." Don't nobody want to hear they fat. So we got to go out there. And so we, listen, now they know what I'm saying. We moved mountains. But there were some papers. There were some papers that just got stored up. They just wasn't great sellers. But nevertheless, like old command.
If you gave us lemons, we made lemonade. We did the best we can, but it was the spirit. It was the spirit. And I'm saying that we need to sit down, dear brother, and we need to discuss the pros, the cons. We need to say, hey, we could have stormed Normandy back in the day, but we don't have to send no troops to do the job. They got drones now. That's crazy to jeopardize the lives of men when you got a drone that can do the same thing that 100,000 troops can do. We need to talk strategy. What can we do with modern technology now? Everybody is moving everything on the web, on the international web. We got to begin to really, really talk about and map. That's my only problem. I know we can meet the objective. I know we can increase the final call newspapers. But wisdom is known by his children. We must sit down and discuss a strategy that makes sense. Because once we do it, then we have to follow through with it. And I think there are some brilliant young people in the Nation of Islam that knows we got to change the strategy. Not change the Final Call newspaper, but change the methodology by which we deliver it. That's all I'm saying.
Yes, sir. Brother Captain Curtis, sir, what say you?
You know, I want to, you know, say what Brother Dennis was saying is so true. The incentive. You know, what we can do, what we need to do now is exactly what he's saying. We have to come together and take, you know, senior officers that then did these things and get with the present day leadership and, you know, discuss how we did and what we did at that time. Even right now, you know, the question is how and why. It's like, okay, we got modern technologies. We had Brother Majid saying back in the proud 1975, which I was there too, well, we didn't have all this technology. But today, we got the technology. The technology is there. But when I go in the hood, poor black people don't have this technology. Most people in the hood, our people are struggling. They got these 250-minute phones. They can't talk, but they can't even be on the line to listen to us right now because they only got 250 minutes. They don't have internet. So they don't hear the Honorable Louis Farrakhan when he speaks on Saturday on the time of what must be done. So what do we do about that? That's why the Honorable Louis Farrakhan said we got to go in the street and get them and make all men and boys join the FOI. This is how we increase the phone call sales. This is how we turn it around. When you see men coming through them doors, it put a certain spirit in you. And I'm not coming from the line. They can tell you when you see new soldiers come in and they ain't turning around because somebody's standing in there prejudging them before you can even get them cleaned up. See, we got to bring them in, and you got to have love and patience for them. Like, okay, even though he might be spanking or whatever else, but Brother Captain Dennis and Brother Jid, they, you know what I'm saying is that we would go and get some suits, or we would, if we had to go to the Salvation Army, whatever we had to do, we would try to clean that brother up, and he'd come and turn around and be one of your top soldiers because he was so appreciative of that suit that you went and got him. See, it's all generating around that love. It's the same thing that we did then have to be done now. But we have to, like Brother Captain Dennis said earlier, we need to take the positions. You know, the ministers, the men are all students, well, we all need to stay students. But we need to take those positions and put them in our back pocket somewhere. And we're not doing nothing with them. I mean, come on, we look at a clear picture, man. It ain't like we ain't looking at a clear picture. When you see a city, I see a city like Atlanta, was doing 35,000 people every week. I see a city like Columbia, South Carolina, where the minister asked the driver, he said, who that fellow selling them papers to down there? The trees, he got 10,000 papers coming in to Columbia, South Carolina. My point that I'm making is that, you know, that same situation that was taking place, and you look now and you say, wow, Atlanta taking 25,000, 3,000. You know, it could be a little different in the numbers, but look how far away. See what Brother Dennis said? That incentive, if you don't give a man an incentive, if he already poor and raggedy, how was I able to be a free man? I was getting that nickel too. So I said, wait a minute. I went from $15,000 to $35,000. Like, whoa, wait a minute. That's a little over $1,500 a week just off of that paper. I was able to live very comfortable. And I didn't just send the men out of the field. I went out there in that field, too. When I was in the city, I was in the street with the soldiers. And, you know, and I found new territories where we got poor black people that don't have access to modern technology. So if they don't have internet, how are we going to get the Honorable Louis Farrakhan in their earshot? That means we got to go get them. And on Saturday, mosque meetings should be, we should have the mosque packed on Saturday to hear the time of what must be done. You ain't got to worry about Sunday before he ain't teaching right now. If you put that man that ain't got that internet in front of that screen on Saturday and he hear the Honorable Louis Farrakhan, he coming back Sunday. He coming back for some more because you can't, I mean, we got to go get the people. This is the problem. We got to go get our people. That love got to be dedicated. A lot of us are actually afraid to go in the hood because of the way brothers are killing each other. Some of us are actually scared. Like brother said, that brother ran. That's the truth. That ain't the only case where some people ran and left a brother, man. We had a brother in California that got ran, and brother Oliver Beasley got killed because he got shot. Right. Brother ran and left him. You know, so we have to now put that love back into this brotherhood. And I'm with Brother Calvin Dennis. We got to have a table talk. We got to strategize this and bring it back current. Thank you.
Oh, yes, I'm sorry, Kev. Go ahead. Is he still here, Brother Rafi?
Yeah, are you talking to me?
Yes, sir.
Did you say?
I didn't know. I didn't know if you was finishing that because it sounded like you got cut off.
Yes, I could go on forever, but I mean, I want to be respectful of the time and my comrades as well. Yes, sir.
Okay, yes, sir. Praise be to Allah. Well, Cap, we do got some soldiers out there that is doing some pushing with the final call. Brother Rafi, let's see where the soldiers are. Let's go take a look and see where Muhammad's got the devil on the run this week with the final call. We got some cities here that you don't hear from all the time. Let's go on the west side, Rialto, California. That's right. Soldiers in Rialto, California. And they got their boots on the ground with the final call news. Shout out, soldiers. Raleigh, North Carolina. That's right. Soldiers in Raleigh, North Carolina. And the soldiers in Raleigh got their boots on the ground. Shout out, soldiers. Keep pushing that final call. Shreveport, Louisiana. Yes, that's right. In Shreveport, there's soldiers in Shreveport. And they got their boots on the ground with the final call. Seattle, Washington State. That's right. Seattle comes through. We hear from them all the time. They got their boots on the ground this week. Shout out, soldiers. Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Soldiers in Pittsburgh. And Muhammad's got the devil on the run with the final call in Pittsburgh. Shout out, soldiers. Atlanta, Georgia. You know Atlanta's getting ready for the Holy Day of Atonement, opening up the way for the southern region. And they got their boots on the ground. Come on, Atlanta. Working hard, fast moving, right down to the modern times. Keep up the good work, soldiers. Birmingham, Alabama. Yes. Birmingham, paying the way, getting it ready for the Holy Day of Atonement. Come on, Birmingham, we see you. Keep up the good work. Houston, Texas. Soldiers in Houston, Texas. Houston's always on the map with the final call. Shout out, Houston. But our number one goes to Indianapolis, Muhammad's Mosque 74. The soldiers, fast moving, fast thinking, right down to the modern times. Keep it moving, soldiers. To join the FOI in your area, just call the National Center in Chicago, Illinois at 773-324-6000. and ask for the office of the FOI and fallen soldiers. We got plenty of work to do. We got a nation to build. Too often in life, when our people fall short and wind up in the penal system, society gives up on them, but not the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is always looking out for our people, regardless of their condition. He has set up the Nation of Islam Prison Reform Ministry to start the process of reform for our people. This is a salute to those soldiers and helpers of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan in the Prison Reform Ministry. Well, let's go to the state of Alabama. Student Prison Reform Minister James Muhammad. You see, Brother James Muhammad goes in and out of prisons all week long, seeking to save that which is lost, the despised, rejected. See, this is the type of work you don't hear about every day. But this soldier goes in and out of the prisons all week long. Shout out, soldier. Student Regional Prison Reform Minister Charles Muhammad of Atlanta, Georgia. That's right. Goes in the prisons, looking in on our brothers who are locked down with no hope. No one coming to see about them. No money on their books. But our brother, Student Regional Prison Reform Minister Charles Muhammad, is right there for the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. Shout out, soldier. Regional Prison Reform Minister Victor Muhammad, Midwest Region. That's right, Detroit. Getting out of the prisons. Helping our brothers and sisters on lockdown. Talking to the families. Always trying to find a way to help our brothers on lockdown. A follower of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. And of course, our National Student Prison Reform Minister Abdullah Muhammad, who the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan has entrusted with the national detail around this country as he crisscrossed this country, going after our brothers, handling the needs of our brothers in the prison, fighting against systems to get the final call inside the prisons. That's right. That's our brother, Student National Prison Reform Minister Abdullah Muhammad. Shout out, soldier. Leonard Omar. Yes, Central Region. That's right. Soldier going inside the prisons in the Central Region, doing the same thing, going after our people who are hopeless and despair, who want to get their lives together and become productive citizens of the Nation of Islam. Shout out, soldier. Brother Patrick Mohammed, out of Houston, Texas. That's right, in and out of the Southwest prisons, seeking to save that which is lost, giving hope to the hopeless. Next week, we will view part two of our series, Black America, Black Indigenous America on Lockdown. Hear from our prison ministers what's needed in our prison systems. What kind of assistance can you offer to help your loved ones who are on lockdown that most of us have forgot about? That's next week, Black Indigenous America on Lockdown. And I say to the soldiers on lockdown, hold your head up. Allah has blessed us with a savior who is born for the black man and woman of America. crazy due to our wealth. We're back at the Farrakhan Speaks Roundtable Talks in our second hour, and I wish we had more time to deal with some of those. We got so many questions and comments from soldiers from around the country that want answers to this. And unfortunately, the airwaves is just not a place where we can go ahead and handle that. And I want to say to the brothers out there, you know, that you're listening tonight and you hear this and you want to ask questions. But I want to say to my brothers out there respectfully that the airwaves is not a place where we argue and talk about our grievances in the public. We need to do this, as the captain said, we need to come together at a round table and talk about this and discuss this and come up with a strategy. So I just want the brothers out there to know, we don't want to use the airwaves to sit up there and talk about our personal lives on the air. This is not a place for that. So let me go ahead right now and go to our captains tonight on the time and what must be done. Captain Dennis, what sticks out at you, sir, on the time and what must be done? Is there a talking point that really jumps out at you that you would like to share with the listening audience tonight?
Well, there's no question, dear brother. You know, if we all have been following the minister's series, you know, it's almost mind-boggling to see where Allah is taking the leader in that subject. I mean, last Saturday's subject, I mean, he just made us see that, shoot, we are breeding ourselves into power.
Yes.
It almost was like, wow, you know, I mean, the minister, he's really truly the undisputed champion of God. And it was strange because a white guy on Twitter, you know, ain't nobody in the country has a Twitter army. I mean, the minister had changed the rules of Twitter. You know, he had changed the rules, man. Ain't nobody got that, man. And I retweeted Brother Jesse's quote of the minister dealing with the blue eye being a genetic defect. And it was a scientist had agreed with the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. One of my white Twitter followers had said to me, well, what scientist? In other words, he wanted to question, where you get that from? So I tweeted him back and said, well, go right now on NOI.org and listen to the minister and you find out for yourself. Well, that man sure did. And he tweeted me back with the man's name that the minister quoted, was letting me know he went on. But this white man was tore up from the floor because he didn't know there was such a man as powerful as the Honorable Minister Farrakhan dropping these ballistics. So when I think about the time and what must be done, it is very clear that God's man is doing his job. And I used to tell the brothers that you got three levels, pools of water. You got rivers, you got the lakes, and you got the ocean. And most of us, at best, are river fishermen. We catch what you call bottom feeders, the catfish, the carp, you know. But when you become a lake fisherman, you know, you got to use a different kind of bait because you're working with a different quality of fish. You're catching your lake trout, you get up there, man, you get a better quality fish. But your bait has to change. Your bait, that the river fisherman, that's not hard. You put a worm on, put some chicken liver, you get anything you want from the bottom. But the Honorable Minister Farrakhan is an ocean fisherman. And sometimes a man that fish from the ocean, when he fish, he has to put a fish that looks like a big fish on the line to catch a big fish.
Mm.
And so he don't put bait. The bait look like a whole fish. And then when you say, wow, he's throwing that fish in there, and then you see this big fish jump on. Well, the minister is catching big fish. He's working the Pacific and Atlantic. He's working the Indian Ocean. The leader is an ocean fisherman.
on that level of fishing. Some of us have moved up to the lakes. I ain't going to lie. Some of us have become lake fish. We catching a better quality fish, you know, and we using different baits. But there's so many that still out there on the riverbank. The time and what must be done is that we must follow the example of the Honorable Minister Farrakhan. Our language must change, our methodology by which how he goes to get what he gets. And then the minister, he's not a man that's argumentative. The minister is a factual man. He has a research team that just gives him facts. And I mean, I just love that man. God, I get chills every time I talk about the boss. But here's
yes,
what I've learned, dear brother. I've learned, regardless of what the minister doing in that ocean, we still got our people in the river. And the methodology by which we got to use to get our people. Now, we can forget about the bottom feeders, but I come from the bottom. I come from the bottom. That's how Mr. Muhammad fished me, man. They fished me out of the river. They didn't fish me out of no lake. They fished old Captain Catfish Dennis out of the damn river. And they, you know, and they used the bait that I like, chicken. Chicken liver caught me. Well, we have to understand, you know, the methodology by which we go to get our people ain't changed that much. You know, it's the pearly and the light and the bling bling that attracts our people. You can't ride up in the hood in an old beat-up hoopty talking about come and join us, brother. We're going to take you to freedom, justice, and equality, money, good home, friendship, and all walks of life, and you look raggedy in a boat, than a fork of greens. How you going to attract our people looking like that? Our people is attracted by wealth. So Allah, as the minister, is tearing down the wealth of this country, because if that's the attraction of this world, then Allah is eating at the daggone America's food basket. That's why the minister is coming with food. Why would he be so hard on this? Economic food farming. Because the minister knows we in famine. We don't see it. Salmon. We don't see that the master storehouse is getting empty. We don't see it, but God's man see it. And we have to be able to be out there and articulate. We have to be able to articulate what the minister is saying in a way that our people understand it. Don't try to give them the fish, the ocean sea bait. These are volume feeders. We got to be able to take the teachings of the most honorable Elijah Muhammad that is given to us by the Honorable Minister and make it, listen now, and make it simple. Don't make it complicated. Truth is very simple. So today, you know what's plaguing our people, man? Our people are plagued by the community is not safe. They can't hear nothing we got to say because they're not safe. The minister led us out there, man, to go out there, man. Do you know every day, have y'all been reading the news? Not only gun violence is taking us out the game, but gun violence has moved to another level because gun violence now is affecting infants. Babies are being killed by gun violence. Brooklyn, New York, a little child was shot and killed in a stroller. Up in New Orleans, Louisiana, man, a little child was shot and killed in the arms of the babysitter. All the way down in another city, the man shot, told the woman, if you don't give me no money, I'm going to shoot your baby. Then shoot the baby in the stroller. In Chicago, Illinois, a man had a beef with another man. He's got a six-month-old baby in his hand. He's trying to show the man, man, don't, let's not do it here. I got my baby, and the man killed the man's baby. Damn, man, where are we at? Because we can talk all this highfalutin wisdom, knowledge, and stuff. Because let me tell you, let's keep it 100. Our people don't care what you know. They just want to know, do we care?
Yes, sir.
And that's what the minister is saying to us. You got to go out there, man, and show the people some love. And when you show these people genuine love, they will buy anything you got. They will buy a bundle of papers if you just sit down and show them that you care. We got to go out there, man. What good is all this training? We the mighty FOI for Muhammad. We would die. Oh, we only die for Muhammad? When Muhammad said our sole purpose, our only purpose is to deliver his people to him. Are we delivering his people? Or are we walking by his people? We have the power. We say we fear no one but Allah. Is that true? Is that really true? Because if we fear no one but Allah, then we are the only ones to go into that concrete jungle and tame that damn beast, because it is our charge. It is charge to us. What is the duty of the civilized man? Are we performing our duty? The leader warned us on the last time and what must be done. He said Israel is a sign of us. Well, what is the sign of Israel? The sign of Israel, you know, as I know the history was, that they did not fulfill their duty that civilizing their crazy brothers. They didn't finish the job. After Moses gave them the knowledge, they came out the caves of Europe. They were supposed to go back into the cave and get their crazy brother. Did they do it? No, sir. The last of the European people that came out of the darkness of Europe was the Slavic people, which were the Polish people. And that's where Hitler was born, out of the Slavic people. And it was out of Slavic people that birthed Hitler. And Hitler became the chastisement to the Jewish people for them failing in their duty. Well, what's going to happen to us? When we walk by our people, we drive by our people, we don't care no more. We don't want our people to be civilized. We lock our own damn doors. Then I'm telling you what's going to happen to us. I don't care if we wear a bow tie, don't wear a bow tie or a straight tie. They will knock us in the damn head and rob us. Yes, they will. Because if we don't show no love for them, they damn sure ain't going to show no love for us. So what time and what must be done, we need to get out there. At a time that America's falling like a rock on September. Look here. Look at this. October the 16th is called the Day of Atonement, right?
That's
right. If these people don't, if America don't atone, then October the 17th, they default in their duty, and that means that's the end. October the 20th, the minister gives these people their last rights. It's over with. Then what's going to happen when they start taking the money and welfare become farewell? Our people are going to start going to the streets. But if we don't have our community on lock right now, then all of your survival kits putting the damn towel up underneath the door and making sure that the rats don't come. See, that's going to become a reality for some of us, but not all of us. Because those of us who are out there building a relationship with our people, they will never come after us. But those who are not, then you better hide. You better get the survival kit. You better lock your doors. Because the savage is damn sure going to come and get you. That's the time and what must be done to me, brother.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Brother Captain Majid, what say you, sir? The time and what must be done. Yep, did we lose our brother, Brother Rafi?
His line is still open, beloved.
Yes, sir.
Oh, there he is. There he is. Yes, sir, Cap, on the time and what must be done.
Wow.
Yeah, that's what I say every week.
I got to keep my time in. Captain D covered it just about all.
Yeah.
he just about covered it all. But, you know, what's most striking to me, what's hitting a chord with me with the time of what must be done, is that the minister is clearly showing us what real vision looks like. He's showing us what foresight is. He's given us a proper perception from a universal point of view. And we have to be properly prepared, you know, for the end result of what he's putting out there. You know, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said that through the minister, he would get all of his people. And that doesn't just mean black people. So the internet now has put the Honorable Louis Farrakhan on a world stage. Now,
right. If
we go to the program of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad that's on the Final Call newspaper, you know, he said our people are most in need of a mental resurrection, therefore they shall be resurrected first.
Mm-hmm.
So that's to imply that there's a second and a third and a fourth. So all of the people that are to come to the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, I see the Honorable Louis Farrakhan reaching those particular people that have come to him and to be a part of this nation. Now, to me, it tells me personally that we as believers absolutely got to get our house in order, man. Absolutely. Because there are millions and millions of people now that are feeding on the message of the Honorable Louis Farrakhan and want to get into the practice of what we're doing. And so, again, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said we have to be examples for the lost found. Well, you can't be an example for somebody that they can't see. Now, we can Twitter, we can talk, we can do a lot of this on the Internet, but, you know, I see the Jehovah's Witnesses in the street all the time. That's what I see them doing, and they got their teaching, of course, from Master Fra Muhammad right out of this city here. So, you know, for every soldier, whether he becomes a lieutenant, a major, a general, a colonel, whatever the case may be, they all have to go through what is basically called hand-to-hand combat. And as Captain Dennis was just saying a minute ago, a lot of the brothers are afraid. They're afraid to go in the neighborhoods. And the minister said that the only reason why the crime rate is up the way it is because we're not there. What made us effective and will make us effective again is that we got to take it to the street. He said that's where our work is now. It's in the street. Door to door ain't never been thrown away. We just threw it away because we chose the dollar over the lives of our people. If we get back to the first work, as the scripture says, seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and all its righteousness, then everything else will be added on. So we got to go after the first work, and the first work is the resurrection of the dead. The moment we follow his example in the way that we've been taught, we'll see growth, we'll see everything that we desire in the way of a material gain. But the first thing we have to do is follow his lead and go after his people, because it ain't the time of what might be done. It's the time of what must be done. That's the way it's hitting me.
Yes, sir. Praise be to Allah. Thank you, sir. Brother Captain Curtis, sir, what say you, sir?
My two comrades have actually covered quite a bit of what the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is saying to us on the time and what must be done. But, you know, I reflect back to the mid-90s when the Honorable Louis Farrakhan, as Brother Captain Dennis said earlier, everything that we heard him say he was going to do, he did it. And when he said he was going to get his father's farmland back, and he came to Georgia, and he met with that Caucasian that had that land, and he started purchasing, he purchased 1,600 acres of it. And when you look at the farm, what is the time of what must be done, I'm going here because when you get down there, and prior to 75, when you see what was going on with our nation, you saw that the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad had a milk dairy down there. He had a cannon factory down there, you know, because we was growing all natural food, so you can't send all natural food across the country without it going bad when it's organic. So the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, we was canning the food right there at the farm, on the farm. It was a cannery down there. And we can talk about all we want to, but the Honorable Farrakhan, any time and what must be done, the serious point that he's put to us is that when we bring the people to the Lamb of God, we got to feed these people. You know, I mean, really and honestly, right now, if you are not paying attention to the Honorable Farrakhan in the time, can you imagine that these wicked beasts is putting organic pig in the store? Have you ever seen an organic ham, organic pork chop? What are you talking about? Kosher hog and this kind of stuff is going on, and this is what is being fed to the minds of our people, and some of us are not even paying attention. See, with the seed thing that's taking place, most of the stores you go to now, they got seedless watermelons, seedless grapes. We're not paying attention to what's being said. We hooraying, yes, you know. Oh, man, the minister talked, the minister did this on the time of what must be done. But how many cities, how many cities do we have hoop houses in that he's given up to guidance? But, you know, and this is the thing that I got to say, what was done prior to right now in this, in the former capitals, myself and Brother Virginia, Brother Captain Dennis, like I said, when the minister taught the Exodus program, and we were there, we took that Exodus program right back to the brothers, and this is what made the phone call successful, is because we was getting customers. Today, we need to be focused on, we need to pay more attention to what he's saying to us, because we look at it like he's just talking to the outside world. Yes, he's telling them what's going on. Like Brother Dennis said, he's fishing in the ocean. And he came out of a lake. Well, I come out of a pond. You know, where it really is. So my point that I'm making is that if we don't return to this farm, if we don't return to growing our own crops in our own cities while the minister is preparing the three economical program for us to buy millions of acres of land as a whole, he's going after a lot of us black people in general that we got to return to the farm. We got to feed ourselves. So as he's feeding us spiritually, intelligently, he's telling us to go back to the Hadith Delil. You know, that was one of the things that attracted me prior to 1975 to the nation, was the food that the Muslims was eating. And that food that we was eating was more pure, it was more better for us, and it caused us to have that shine. When you could see a Muslim, you'd be shining coming down the street. Right now, a lot of us got to put Vaseline and mineral oil on just to get a little shine because we eat all kind of stuff, man. So, really, we got to get that diet back right. You know, I mean, when you go around and you don't see these hoop houses, you got to stop asking yourself, damn, who paying attention? Class is in. The minister's teaching us mathematics on life. And that is nothing but the truth. How do we stay here? You know, it ain't like, it's about longevity. But look, all the white people die right now, where they done mess us up, we're going to starve to death. So even if you feed a man, you know the way that they always say, the way a woman get a man is through his stomach. You know, the minister is teaching how to live. He's holding the books up on the website. The brother told me that he drove by a mile, so I just say this. And when they didn't even have how to live. The minister just said, get the book. So, in other words, my point is that we got to get behind what he's saying and actually bring it into reality, practical reality, not just talking, not just say, oh, man, he's on it. No, he's on it. Well, when are we going to get on it? At what point are we going to have to start demonstrating that mathematics that he's teaching us to stay here to be 400 and 500 years old? We got what we need, but are we going to bring it into practical application, or are we just going to keep blowing smoke, or are we blowing air? And if people standing back looking at you say, man, the government ain't got to worry about us. The devil don't even have to worry about us. He in the house. He in us. Because we ain't doing not one damn thing that we're being asked to do. The time and what must be done is crystal clear. It can't be made no clearer. And I'm telling you, when you ride by a facility on a Saturday and that place ain't packed because you ain't bringing people out to see the minister live, something wrong with the thinking. How many beef sausages do we eat that was in pork casing? That we didn't even read that part. Well, this is all beef. What kind of casing is it in? So I'm saying he's giving it to us and we not getting it. So you got to say to our, you got to look at it and say, wait a minute. What's the problem here? Are we eating this poison food that the devil is feeding us? Because we ain't doing nothing for our own self. Most of us got jobs. I remember the time where we went, our whole thing is to become free from the job. I ain't worried about paying no taxes. I ain't worried about, where I got to be at in the morning. I'm going down to the mosque. I'm going down to the mosque. I'm going to get with the soldiers, and we're going to go do what we're supposed to do. You got an army. All the army don't do the same thing. All the army don't go and sell phone calls. Some go to the farm. Some make sure that their hoop house is done. That's why the Honorable Farquhar give us stuff. We're not demonstrating it. He gave us the nine ministries. When them nine ministers is put in place, we're talking about building the nation. So then if we don't do it, the Honorable Farquhar is recruiting, like Brother Dennis say, out of the ocean. He's bringing in a new people that actually going to just look at you and going to say, you know what? Are you a traitor to your leader?
Mm.
What is the punishment to treason? When you're letting the people die, there ain't nothing going on, treason is taking place. I'd rather not be a part of that. I remember one time he told me, and Brother Captain Dennis, and I know you was there. He said, brother, he said, how you going to set up under them when you've been up under me? When you don't hear me coming through them, when the hell are you going to stay up under them? The time and what must be done. I could go on and on and on. I'm saying we need to pay attention to the class in the classroom that we're in as the teacher's teaching us as students, and then we need to become practical applications of the student that we can actually pass the test when the test is given. And the test is now because the time and what must be done, we must do for self and that is to raise us some food and to stop getting our children, our babies, our young children are growing up. You see them grow up in the mosques. From babies when they get 18 and 19, we lose them. Our young girls are going off with lost found men because we are not being productive. We're not being producers the way we should be. So something was wrong with that picture. We're not paying attention to the teacher, and we're not following the teacher. We just perpetrating a fraud. So are we guilty of treason? I thank Allah for blessing me to come from death, from cancer, to come back, to feel myself coming back, that I can get strong, and I just feel that in a few days that I'm ready to break loose. I don't need no instruction from nobody else. I got my instruction from the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, and my thing is to start trying to raise some food or to get some people to know how to do it, to help them do what he wants done in that garden. If I'm a commander, I might not be a farmer, but I can sure be the overseer and make sure that what he wants done get done. All praises due to Allah.
Praise be to Allah. Brother Rafi, we got a call in queue, 215. 215, what say you? You're out on the front line with the Fruit of Islam.
215, your line is open.
Yes, this is Brother Ron. 215?
Yes, sir.
Your line is open.
This is Brother Ron W. Muhammad, better known as Brother Ron Welch. How's the believers?
Oh, fine. Thank Allah, soldier. How are you tonight, sir?
Oh, I'm doing fine, trying to make my word, my bond, living in the hell of North America.
Thanks for calling in, Brother Ron.
I'm just so inspired, and I'm sitting here just listening to my brothers, my brother Captain Dennis. I'm just like in awe, and I'm definitely just so, I'm just full of energy right now. And I thank Allah for allowing me to be born this day and to be a witness of the brotherhood and definitely being a brother and a friend to Minister Farrakhan. And I'm just definitely thankful to Allah to be here. And I'm
now, Brother Ron, now, excuse me for cutting you, but aren't you the brother who made those beautiful plush suits for the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan?
Well, I thank Allah for that opportunity. Thanks to Brother Sharif, now who is Minister Sharif in Atlanta.
Yes, sir.
He brought me to Minister Farrakhan, and the minister said, "Brother, if you make me this one suit, brother, and if it's done right, brother, you will address me for a long time."
All right.
I was thankful to Allah, and I addressed him for many occasions, especially the Million Man March and the Torchlight for America, and I did quite a few FOI uniforms for the A-Team, and I just enjoyed and honorable, just thankful to Allah to be chosen little black boy from Philadelphia. The youngest out of four children, barely graduated out of high school. By addressing that man who represents the word of God,
I'm
a divine minder now. My little name, Ron Welch Muhammad, now known in 50 states and 3 countries, just by addressing that man. You know, and I'm just thankful, man. And it's just a beautiful thing. I'm just sitting here in my basement office listening to the words that are coming from these wonderful captains who
yes,
I had just a privilege just to be with and just to see their face and feel their spirit. And, you know, Brother Captain Dennis said it right, man. You know, we got a beautiful leader, man.
Come on.
We got a really, and I've been around this man. I mean, I tell my family, my son, I said, "Son, you know, I had the honor, I had the wonderful privilege just to sit in the palace of the messenger with Minister Farrakhan, just me and him one-on-one. He talking to me and I'm talking to him. But I'm always reminded, Brother Ron, this man represents God in person. This man that I'm sitting with, do not get relaxed.
Wow.
Because the man that you're speaking to is in tune with, or the God that represents the sun, moon, and star is in tune with him. Farrakhan, I remember for Torchlight for America, and he was talking, we was talking in the pilot, said, Brother Ron, what you think I should dress? What color suit you should wear for what I should wear for Torchlight for America? I said, Brother Menace, I think white. He said, Brother Ron, right, that's what we're going to do. Do me a white suit. And I went on and did the suit, and I made a fez. No one knew this but me and him. I went on and made a fez, and I put Khalifa on the fez.
Wow.
He said, Brother Ron, no, Brother Ron, don't pull that out. He said, Brother, don't pull it out. I was calling him Khalifa, the crown of God, because I knew by meeting this man and talking with him, the way he, the divineness of this man, the humbleness of this man, the sweetness of this man, Farrakhan, that man, I tell you, those who are listening in this radio broadcast, that man is the son and the daughter, all in one, male and female. He is the Khalifa. He is that crown, that precious jewel that sits on the forehead of the God. Farad Muhammad is in depth, definitely is in control of this man. And I said, I said to him, in fact, in 97, after he gave us the number 19 work study guide, 19, and he gave that wonderful Savior's Day address, he invited me to dinner at the palace, and I was came to dinner. Captain Dennis was there at that dinner meeting, and that's when Brother Benjamin Chavis was given the name Muhammad. He became a believer, a registered Muslim, and I'm at the dinner table. Halim and Brother, all the officials was there. I think I was the youngest man at the table, youngest brother at the table. I'm sitting next to the secretary, and one chair away from the minister, and I'm just sitting there, just in awe of this man who changed my life. I grew up, brother, those who are listening, I was self-hated. I hated myself. My father is a light-skinned man, tall. But my father rejected me because I'm a dark-skinned brother, taking the complexion of my mother. I wasn't bright in school. I barely graduated high school. And I took up tailoring in high school, but I didn't think I was going to be anything big or nothing smart. But I saw myself here I now sitting at the table of the messenger of God, dressing the man who represent the messenger of God out of North Philly. Who the hell am I? And I asked the minister at that dinner table, I said, Brother Minister, who am I to be dressing you for such wonderful occasions? And he looked at me, he said, Brother Ron, brother, you know who I am, don't you? And I looked at him like, yes, sir, you represent the word of God in my mind. But then he said, brother, by dressing me, brother, you would dress the whole nation. Now, and he said that in 97, and today I'm known throughout the nation in three countries, and now being given the title by local officials, they backing me up. And now, brother, I'm making friends throughout the world and Indonesia, Bangladesh, China. They want to do business with me. We're designing product that we can introduce to our community. We need to own product. We need to own our own industry. Master Farad Muhammad, he went door to door selling silks and fabrics. Why, Master Farad Muhammad, did you use fabric and textiles? What's in this textile thing? Today, the black man and woman are the best-dressed people on the face of the earth. We need to start what's on our back. We need to start making products that we can manufacture for ourselves. We dress good, but we make nothing. Black leaders, we dress good, we preach good, we make nothing. We need to now take those textile goods. We need to start taking the labor force that's in prison and our high schools and teach them textile and manufacturing. All that stuff is coming back to America. America got vacant factory buildings throughout the urban America. Who's in urban America? We as black people. Master Farah Muhammad was selling silks and textile. I heard a tape by the messenger that Master Farah Muhammad was also into making the product, not only just selling textiles and whatnot, but he was also into knowing how to make product to clothe the body that represents the image and likeness of God. I am so thankful just to be taught by Mr. Farrakhan. I'm not taught by nobody. I'm not a college graduate. I am taught and trained by Minister Farrakhan. And when I walk, he told me, Brother Ryan, when you walk in a room, brother, like I walk in a room, let them know that God has come into the room. And I bear witness when I walk in rooms, not because I'm 6'3 and I look good in suits, thanks to Allah, but I walk with confidence. When I was nothing, I had hated myself. I didn't know nothing about being original man and being dark-skinned, thick-nosed. But no, now after I heard the teaching and read the teaching and reflect and ponder and pray over the word that I was given and the way the minister emphasized and cleared up those misunderstandings, he clears it up in the clearest language. He makes it so plain that a fool can understand. Now,
I got to wrap it up, brother. I got more calls. I got more questions of brothers that want to talk to the captains before they get off. We only have about 10 minutes left.
Well, I want to say this, brother. Thank you. This is my first time calling in. I got the email. I came to my office and I saw the email and I said, let me go and call in. And brother Captain McGee and Captain Dennis, Captain Curtis, man, y'all some strong brothers. I thank y'all for serving the Nation of Islam. I salute you as being some of the best captains. Because I have ever known. Thank you for believing and staying strong and staying with our leader. All right? Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam, Brother Ron. Thanks for calling, sir.
Thank you, sir.
Okay, Captain, we got about a good 6-7 minutes left on the clock. I'm going to ask a quick one. I got one question here from the brothers. An FOI wants to know, what do you do when there's a falling away in your city? What do you do to increase your ranks and to bring the spirit back in the house? I'll start with Brother Dennis first, sir.
Well, brother, simple. There's always be a falling away. You just have to make sure that you never leave a man out there, abandon him. Always go and try to bring back that brother back in the ranks. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad taught us that, man, that, no matter what may happen and the brother may fall away, circumstances may have arose in that man's domestic life, we never give up on the soldier. We have to learn to always go back and try to get that brother. And the way you get him back is to show that brother you genuinely care about him. And also, you have to always recruit. Recruiting is the business we in. You never, never stop recruiting. That is the business we in. So I just want to say this, and I'm going to end on this on my note. We have a brother that I have really been thankful to a lot. I've been studying his three-volume books, Brother Mikael Shabazz Muhammad. This brother is probably one of the most greatest military scientists we have in our midst. He's absolutely teaching serious military strategy and training, and we need to get that brother's books because the things that I've learned from my brother from his great military background, I wish I would have known that 25 years ago.
I would have changed some of my methodology, and they hadn't taught me much about military. So don't overlook when we got in our ranks, dear brothers, brothers who have came out that devil's army with some stars and stripes. These men know military. So if you ain't never been in the military and you say that don't mean nothing to the devil's eyes, shut your ignorant mouth. If a man could teach me something that could better me as a soldier, then damn it, listen. I just wanted to say that, brother.
Thank you, Cap. Thanks for coming out tonight, sir.
Thank you.
Brother Captain Curtis, sir, what say you? The brother wanted to know, what do you do when there's a falling away in your mosque or city, and how do you preserve the spirit and bring the brotherhood back? You
brother,
got about
brother,
three minutes, Cap. Yes, sir.
I would just say this real brief. Is that, as Brother Dennis said, you're going to have a falling away. All you can do is try to not leave the man out there. Get him to refocus his mind on other Louis Farrakhan. And if you are dissatisfied with something that appears to be nothing, know one thing for sure and two things for certain, that Allah did come in the person of Master W. Farad Muhammad. He did bless us with the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, who we know him as today as the Exalted Christ, and that the one that they have left in our midst today to serve and to teach and to guide us is the Honorable Louis Farrakhan. If you keep your eye on him, you may fall away from the mosque, but you didn't fall away from Islam, and you didn't fall away from the guidance and the teachings of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. You only just fell away from that atmosphere because it was non-productive. And the falling away is that, and then when you see a man leaving like that, you know, it's the responsibility of not only leadership but of the brotherhood to go and talk to him and to make sure that that person had not turned hypocrite or that he have not turned totally against the nation, because you can go talk to a man because he don't come out in the morning. You talk to him, you realize that he's so full of Islam to even that, whoa, but what's happening? It is that he just stepped away because he saw that people that are in quote-unquote leadership is not following Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, that they're actually not doing not one thing that he's asked to be done. So when we look at the situation, you got to look at what causes that to happen, and then the effect of it is that because they don't come around, you don't stay away from them. You communicate with them and try to make sure that you can stay in contact with them, because that particular person that you thought fell away could be the very one that come back and be on top of the whole situation, because they see that somebody's not following the guidance of the math teacher, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. Thank you.
Thank you, Cap. Yes, sir. Thank you, Cap. Appreciate you coming out tonight, sir. Brother Majid, you got 2 minutes.
Thank you for having me, brother.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Brother Majid, you got 2 minutes, sir. Can you address the brother of falling away?
Well, you know, the main thing to always understand is the fact that Allah is God, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad is his Messiah, and that the Honorable Louis Farrakhan is their servant. And to always point to those three and keep their focus on them. We're imperfect. We already know that. But we know that they're not. And so what we have to constantly do is keep striving to better ourselves through self-improvement, and above all things, to make sure that we're not that factor or as the reason for them falling away. You know, so I'll just say, for the sake of time, always encourage them to keep focus on the fact as to why they came to the nation in the first place. You know, we didn't join for the captain or the minister. We joined because of our love for the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and what we've been taught. So always give them encouraging words through scriptures, too. Point to the Honorable Louis Farrakhan, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and Master Farah Muhammad.
Beautiful. Thank you, Brother Cap. I appreciate you being out tonight, sir. And thank all of you brothers for being out tonight. It has really been an experience for all of us, brother. And I would love for you all to come back again and do a part two. I got so many questions here from the soldiers that texting in, chatting me on inbox and everything. So I would love to have you all come back. And thanks again for coming out. Brother Rafi, let's ride, soldier.
That's our show for this week. We want to thank some of the Nation of Islam's top captains of the mighty Fruit of Islam. Captain Emeritus Dennis Muhammad, Captain Emeritus Majid Muhammad, and Captain Emeritus Curtis F. Muhammad. Don't forget this Saturday at 6 o'clock p.m. Central Time, the time and what must be done by the Honorable Minister Louis Barrakhan. Just go to www.noi.org/the time. Also, on Sunday morning at 10 o'clock a.m. Central Time, the Nation of Islam webcast from Mas Maryam. Just go to www.noi.org. On Twitter, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan said these words, and I quote, "No genetically modified food is good to eat. Any genetically modified food is an enemy to the natural product." I repeat, no genetically modified food is good to eat. Any genetically modified food is an enemy to the natural product. Close quote. On behalf of the Nation of Islam and the supporters from America and around the world, we love you, dear apostle, and may Allah continue to bless and protect you and your family. Original salute to our Supreme Captain Mustafa Farrakhan and the FOI staff. To join the Nation of Islam in your area, just go to www.noi.org/join or call the National Center in Chicago, Illinois at 773-324-6000. To purchase the Final Call products, just go to www.store.finalcall.com or call 1-866-602-1230, extension 320. If you're in Atlanta, Georgia, stop by our fine dining Blue Seas restaurant at 8880 MLK, Dr. Martin Luther King Drive in Atlanta, Georgia. You want to call ahead? You can do that, 404-600-2781. That's the Blue Seas Restaurant. The Nation of Islam in Atlanta is on the move. To the soldiers, let us be found with our boots on the ground for the liberation and salvation of our nation. Let's get those shoes sharp, white shirts, bow ties, crisp, fast moving, fast thinking, right down to the modern time. And remember, we are the Muhammad that's got the devil on the run. Saints, soldiers, scholars, healers, and killers, may Allah bless us all with the light of understanding as I leave you. Allahu Akbar. Assalamu alaikum.